Utah State is after watching them tonight. And I'll be honest with you, Reed Carringer tried to warn me a week and a half or so ago about them in saying, hey, Tony, that's really not that good of a team, despite what the national media is telling you. And I wish I'd have listened to him. Because the truth is he was right. And Reed, I tip my cap to you. You were telling me you were breaking down their stuff, and I don't know if you were using that Bar 2 guy system. I'm going to have to grab him, though, and get him on the air this week, because that sounds really interesting. You guys have got my curiosity piqued. Dubsy tried to tell me about him a month or so ago.
And be careful, though. Bar 2 did tell me this week that South Carolina was going to beat the brakes off Texas A&M. So.
Oh, did he?
I'll defend my buddy Bar 2 and say that he picked Tennessee to beat South Carolina last year in November the year prior, back when Derek Dooley was the head coach.
I just want to ask you, Tony, about our kicking game. I can't get enough folks to tell us about our kicking game.
I'll say this. It's improved. Our kicking game's improved. Okay. And let me tell you why I say that. I think the return game's going to be better. I think that's in good hands. Okay? I also think that the field goal kicker scares me, but he needs to kick the ball deeper on kickoffs. Can I get an amen from that? Anybody else agree with me here? In the room.
Absolutely. Zero touchbacks tonight.
I mean, you can't have that. You can in modern day college football, you've got to give me a touchback. That's a given, right?
I agree 100%. Yeah.
Okay, in modern day college football. And because there's, I guarantee you, there's a kid on that campus somewhere, if they held a tryout, there's an old soccer player that played goalie or played sweeper who could put a ball on a tee and kick it through the end zone. I guarantee you there's somebody in that student body that could do that.
They had six or seven kickoffs tonight, and none of them for touchbacks.
But here's the thing. Some of these coaches, and I don't know that Butch necessarily does this, but
they don't want
a lot of other coaches, they tell them to kick it at the goal line because they want it returned. Touchback comes out to the 25 now, and you saw several times where Tennessee had Utah State pinned inside their own 20.
Bad. Good thought. Good thought.
And also, Russell and Reed, what do you think about our kicking game? Do you think it's better than it was last year?
I think the return game is going to be better. The kick coverage is going to be better. Punt coverage is going to be better. I think you saw Dar. Do some darn things today. Kicked the crud out of a couple balls, then he shanked one there, had a 52-yard punt, and then had one that was significantly shorter. And then Medley, I mean, he's got a good leg. I like that he missed the field goal, but then bounced back to hit one shortly after that, and Butch Jones touched on that too. And I like Medley. He's got a good leg. He's got the biggest leg on the team. He just got to get a little bit more consistent. We saw that with him today, just not necessarily striking the ball that well, but it was good that it happened in a game that wasn't a make or break field goal, and I think he's got what it takes to be an SEC kicker from a talent perspective. So I think basically, if you want to take it, the return game is going to be way better, coverage is going to be way better, and then I don't think you're going to see necessarily a drastic step back in punting and kicking like many thought.
We think Rachel.
Yeah, I mean, I like the kicky game. Just kind of echo what everybody else said. I think the coverage units are going to be better. I like what Dar did today. I didn't see the last one because I was leaving to get over here. I'll have to go back and watch the film, to quote Coach Fulmer. But I think that I liked what I saw out of him for the most part. And I think it's getting better. It's kind of mirrors what you're seeing with the rest of the team, the program.
Roger,
let me say this to you. I'm proud of you. I tweeted out your picture when you went to Russell's show on Friday.
Yeah, he was wearing Fred White's national championship ring.
That was really great. Hey, Roger, that look on your face and that smile you had, brother, made it to me. It made it all worthwhile, my friend. And I hope you have a blessed night.
Good night.
Yes, sir. Reed Carringer. I'm on back to the phones. Can you hang in there?
Absolutely.
God, this guy's nuts. When are you planning
to be sane, Tony?
When are you planning on going to sleep tonight?
I watched. I'll kind of fast forward through, watch as much of the game tape as I can. I got to write a little bit for the site, and then do a couple show prep. So three, something like that. Getting up at 6. And I'm in a wedding tomorrow too. On top of that, yes.
What time's the wedding?
Had the rehearsal today. Bachelor party Saturday. The wedding is. I've got to be there at 2 for pictures. Wedding's at 5.
Who gets married on
Labor
Day?
Any chance I can back out?
Yeah, it's tough. I tried to convince them otherwise, but I'm in the wedding, so I get my wife's sister, you know, kind of keeps the in-laws happy.
I'm exhausted for you. Trey's in Nashville. Trey, hello. Welcome, my friend, to the, and I thank you for being there tonight, to the Smart Way Dalton Behring Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction. Hello.
Hey, Tony. Hey, guys.
Hey, Trey.
Just wanted to thank you for what you're doing, and Tony, belated congrats for your Temple Owls taking care of business over here in Nashville. That was pretty enjoyable.
What was that like, man? Like a shot heard around the world? What was it? What's the reaction? I know that the Vanderbilt barely even registers there, but that had to be shocking for the locals.
Yeah, it's kind of like Atlanta here. You know, you see all the fan bases, but other than the Vandy fans, I think a lot of people were happy, and I really soaked it in Thursday night. I fully enjoyed it. It was very enjoyable. But I have a question here. First off, I love the passion of Butch. You know, we had that 4th-and-1 and we jumped, and, you know, that's something that we need in both football and basketball, and I think we finally got that now, like you and Bino touched on.
Well, he snapped, didn't he? Did he snap on that 4th-and-1, or did he snap?
Yeah, and he should have. You know, that's the perfect situation to, you know, that's what we were all thinking as fans in our minds. We're just feeling the same way, and it's great that Butch, you know, that he did that. I mean, it's good to see it, I guess.
Did he snap on Helm?
Yeah.
Was that? Yes, he did.
True freshman. Ouch.
So what? I mean,
the point is,
we're putting you out here, and you better figure this out.
There's no honeymoon period.
No, there is no honeymoon. Hey, he doesn't get a honeymoon period.
That's true.
It is true.
Well, all right. So with the speed, I love that we're one of maybe three programs, Auburn and A&M, that have this, you know, this attack going. And I love the pace and everything. It's like Saban's kryptonite. But how come, you know, we looked really fast at first, and then later on in the game we looked a little slower. You know, we were just taking our time, which is okay. But where do you think long-term progression, like where are we going with that? Like how fast are we trying to snap the ball, and what's the plan there? Because sometimes, you know, it's hard to pick up on what we're really, you know, how fast we're trying to go.
I think what's interesting, Reed, and I'd like to get your take on this, because you're a lot more astute than these other two bozos that are in the studio right now. But I think, if I can just be honest here, they snapped the ball 3 times at least tonight with plus 30 plus seconds on the clock. In other words, it was simultaneous to them saying ready, go, and they snapped the ball. At one time it was 31 seconds. Then there was another time where it was 30 plus on the clock. Reed, I like that, but I'm kind of with the caller. I don't know long term how that works when you're playing somebody with an SEC offense lining up against your young defense. I don't know how advisable that is, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and that's something that, you know, is it Trey, right? Is that right?
Yeah.
You touched on that they vary it throughout the game, and that's something that's intentional with the staff. They've talked about it when they first got here. I think they've got 3 or 4 different speeds they shoot for, and sometimes they'll stick to a consistent speed during a drive. Sometimes they'll change that up between plays, like you mentioned, Tony. So it's something that the staff does intentionally. They have different speeds that they go, and I think you saw the ability today to really, really speed it up, almost Auburn level, where they set the ball and you snap it. And that's a good thing to have in your tool bag. I don't know how much they're going to use it because they realize that too. Coming out of Cincy, they talked a ton about pace of play when they got to Knoxville. And that's something that if you look at the actual average pace of play at Cincinnati, it wasn't outstanding. You know, it was a little bit above average as far as pace of play. So it's something they like to use, I think, situational more than consistently.
Hey, thank you, my friend. Anything else for us tonight, Trey, down in Nashville?
No, the only other thing would be just I enjoyed the game, and I really enjoyed the the little 1997 SEC championship game afterwards. That was
Wow, that was sweet, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was great. Just seeing all those guys, and I think we're headed back that way.
I think so too. I appreciate the call. You know, that's a great question. You said earlier, Russell, or it was one of you guys. Did you say a second ago, Reed, I can't remember if it was you, that this game doesn't do anything for your clock in terms of what you think the year is going to be and where the program is?
Yeah, I didn't say that, but I do believe that. Until I see them do something against, you know, a Missouri, even a Georgia, something like that, I think if Tennessee plays exactly like they played tonight, they will beat Arkansas State. They'll beat UTC. That gets them to 3 wins. They'll beat Vandy, and they'll beat Kentucky. So that gets them to 5. But they're going to have to play better to get that 6th or 7th win and go bowling.
Do you guys buy that, or is Tennessee a bowl team after tonight, from both of you, from your perspective, Russell?
I mean, it kind of reinforces what I thought, because I picked them to go 6-6, and that was contingent upon them winning this game. And
tonight's
game's
huge. Tonight's game's huge.
It doesn't change, you know. I mean, they still got, I think they win this one, next week Chattanooga, and then Vandy, Kentucky. They still have to upset somebody.
That's the same with me. I picked them to go 6-6, too. I think I thought they'd win this one. Pretty much same thing as Russell. They still have to win a game they're not supposed to, but I think they'll win at least one. So I don't think it really changed anything. I expect them to win this game.
Reed,
well,
does anybody
give you more confidence that they'll take care of business? Because that's one thing is maybe you're worried about after last year, after almost dropping one to South Alabama, is that, and dropping one to Vandy, I don't think they should have dropped, is that this year this team looks like they're going to win the ones they're supposed to win.
I think this team's much improved.
I definitely feel more confident about next week, too, because, I mean, I didn't know about tonight, and I didn't know about Arkansas State, because those are, yeah, they're games you should win, but they're decent teams.
No question.
And now I feel like I expect Tennessee to win next week decisively.
You're not playing Austin Peay, and that's the deal. You're not playing. I mean, next week you're not playing Austin Peay.
No.
You better show up next week. That's the other interesting thing is when these guys have a little bit of success –
it'll be interesting to see how they handle it.
Yeah. I'll tell you who I feel good for, though. I feel good for the seniors on that team, the few, the proud that have stuck it out. And it's great seeing AJ have that great night tonight and Worley have that great night tonight. That's good for those guys. That's kind of what this is about, isn't it? And as much as it is about the fans and the feeling in the stadium and the new gimmicks and some of the things that are going on with the piped in sound and that kind of thing, and that's all well and good. You have to feel good for those kids. It would be a shame for a guy like AJ Johnson, who went out there tonight and gave as good a performance as you'll see in years in that place, and just in terms of his level of effort from start to finish, and to throw him out there on the kickoff team and for him to go out there and go guns out the way he did tonight is, hey, that's to me, that's what the game at this level, that's what college sports are about, really, when you get right down to it. That's a kid that loves playing that game.
Yeah, he was outstanding, and so was his other linebacker cohort, Jalen Reeves-Maven. I mean, what an upgrade he
question.
Is. No knock on Dontavis Sapp, but there were a couple of plays where it's Reeves-Maven one-on-one, and I'm thinking, uh-oh, this isn't good. The guy's going to get out. But he makes the tackle. It was a shoestring tackle. I was like, wow, that's a play they wouldn't have made last year.
And so at the end of the day, this thing at the end of the day is getting better. You can see it coming. It's coming back to life. The schedule is so difficult that who knows what the end result is. But, Reed, tonight's a great example to me of – I'm seeing enough to know this is heading in the right direction, and as long as that's the case, I'm going to be a good boy on my side of the microphone. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, absolutely, and I think that's something for fans to keep in mind. And it's, again, I think they're going to hit some rough stretch. That Oklahoma, Georgia, Florida stretch is really, really tough.
I get one there. I'll take one, Reed. I'll take one out of there.
Oh, absolutely.
When you take one?
Liz Jones would take one. I don't think they'll get one, though. I think that the one that's most winnable there is Florida because it's in Neyland. I do think Muschamp's a horrible coach, but that defensive line, they ate up Tennessee's offensive line last year, and every one of those guys is on a pro roster right now. What are they going to do to Tennessee's O-line this year? It's just a tough matchup for Tennessee unless that O-line takes a ton of steps forward. But, yeah, absolutely. Take one there, and you're going bowling, and you're Butch Jones is in the run for SEC Coach of the Year, depending on how everybody else plays out. But I think this team is unquestionably heading in the right direction on the field, off the field with some of the things Butch Jones has done, like you mentioned, Tony. And this is just further evidence of it. And ball fans, I think it's going to take some patience this year, but next season you're going to start seeing more fruit, and it's going to be fun to watch. It's fun to watch young guys. You talked about the old guys tonight, and I think it's great what AJ did, what Worley did, but it's fun to watch young guys get out there and seeing Jalen Hurd almost get flagged for celebrating his touchdown on a frustrating night for him. I'm sure he didn't have the night he wanted to, but seeing the joy he had when he got in the end zone, I mean, that's awesome.
Great stuff. Back to the phones we go. Here tonight on your Smartway, Dalton Behring, fifth quarter fan reaction show. Dustin's up next. Dustin, hello.
Fellas, what's going on?
Hey, brother.
Hey, just like in 1998, we were the first ever BCS champions. Here in 2014, we're going to be the first ever playoff. I'm just kidding. Man, that was a lot of fun. A lot of fun to watch and see. I wasn't expecting Tennessee to beat the brakes off them this early, but like you said, Chucky Keaton was down, obviously, but still, though, just the emotion and intensity that team played with. I don't know if it's because Utah State was really that bad or Tennessee was that jacked up.
Which one was it, guys? What do y'all think?
Combination.
Yeah, a little from column A, a little from column B.
Yeah, I thought we've talked about it. I mean, I didn't think Utah State was all that good coming in, but I think Tennessee played better even than I thought, and I thought they'd win by 14, 17, something like that, and they exceeded my expectations, especially on defense. You didn't have the meltdowns you had at times last year. I thought Utah State would at least get one or two long plays off, score a cheap touchdown or two, and that really didn't happen.
They gave them no life. They smothered them, which is what you needed to have tonight, have happen. They smothered that team. Kind of what it reminded me of was a time that, who was it? It was Boise when they went to Georgia early in the process several years ago, and Georgia got out on them and smothered them and beat the living hell out of them. And that's kind of what Tennessee could have done tonight. If Tennessee could have put another touchdown on the board tonight in this game, when they had that chance, this game here could have gotten into the 50s.
Well, they were up 17-0 at the half, but they should have been up by another touchdown or two.
And if they would have gotten another one, they could have absolutely blown this team off the field.
I wish they would have. I think they would have got a little bit more going into next week than that. But you know, see Peterman come in and still struggle. I don't think I feel bad for that kid, really, I do. But, I mean, what does Tennessee do from here? Because it's apparent that their kicking game is going to struggle. How are they going to slow the game down when they really need to?
You think their kicking game is going to struggle, Reed?
I think it can. Look, we don't really know what we're going to get from Medley. I thought it was a great sign today, though, what he did, making that second field goal. Got a great leg. We've seen him go have great practices where he goes 14 for 14 from all over the field. We've seen him make from 55 or so. And then we've seen some practices where it looks like his confidence gets a little bit shaken. And that's just how it goes with kickers. So I wouldn't say it's clear that it's going to struggle. It's definitely a possibility. We all saw what Pilardi did his junior year under Dooley and then the turnaround he made under Butch. And I think you got to give Pilardi credit for that, but give Butch some too. That he looks like he knows how to handle kind of the fragile psyche of kickers.
That's it. Russell, would you please have that guy on from Utah State you had on last week that said that there were no weaknesses with this Utah State team? Because I'd love to hear what he's got to say this week.
That guy was awesome, man. He must be shocked. Wade Dennison from the Logan Herald.
I talked to him.
I had him on several times. I was like, oh. The Seahawks are coming in this weekend or something, man.
Somebody told me that guy was here for a national bowling thing. Was he like a...
What?
Yeah, you didn't know that? That guy was here in Knoxville before for a bowling deal. He's like a high-level bowler, which tells you everything you didn't know about that guy. No offense to ballers, but that sounds like about the worst thing you could ever possibly do with an
first
afternoon.
I asked prediction like Wednesday or Thursday on the show, and he was like,
sitting in a bowling alley
looking
at fat women.
He's like, I think Tennessee will be able to keep it close, but I'll take Utah State to win late.
I would like to sit in a bowling alley and look at fat women all day.
You can always do that, but Russell, when you asked him what adjustments and what key players did he lose, he said, lose. What do you mean lose? We just refilled. Really?
Reload.
Utah State. Reloaded, yes. We just reloaded. Utah State, really? That was awful. That was the second worst team I've seen coming here in a while.
They're brutal. Yeah, there's no question. Utah State was brutal tonight. God.
No speed. They had no speed.
Nothing. No. They had no speed. Ed Ogeron tonight at his house had more speed than they had. Carringer just saw the line coming. You were laughing before I even said it, Carringer, you knucklehead. That's horrible.
I got some good Coach O stories.
Yeah, interesting. Usually after 1 o'clock, we can kind of let loose with some, well, never mind. Hey, listen, on the way out, promote what you're doing, and I really appreciate your time.
Hey, it's been a blast tonight, Tony. Appreciate you having me. I've enjoyed it. Check out RockyTopInsider.com. Got a couple columns up from tonight. Getting ready to put a photo gallery up from the field as well. We'll have a report card at some point tomorrow. And then, hey, 9 o'clock in the morning, 9 to 11, check out our free app. We'll be talking Vols with the whole RTI crew. Rocky Top Insider app, Android, iPhone, it's out right now. You can also stream live on the site. That will work on your mobile devices if you don't have the app. And, of course, will work on your desktop. So join us. We're going to recap the Vols game. Look forward a little bit to the coming week and talk about what happened around the SEC and just kind of there's a ton to get to. It was a great opening week of football, and I hope all the Vols fans got to enjoy the game tonight and enjoy the rest of the action this week. That's one nice thing about Tennessee playing on a Sunday is hopefully you got to watch some other football.
Absolutely no question. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
Unbelievable job by him. Dubsy, where can we hear your work, if anywhere?
I'll be on tomorrow afternoon, weekdays from 3 to 6, 94.3 FM.
And you're going to a wedding?
No, I'm not going to a wedding. That's Reed.
Huh? No, one of them's going to a wedding.
Reed.
Yeah, he's going to a wedding.
Remember Reed? Reed is going to a wedding 5 o'clock tomorrow, Tony.
God, I felt punch drunk. And to my sponsors, I want to say this was really fun, but it'll be two hours next week.
Oh, come on.
Here are some things to look forward to. Here are some things to think about from today's game. I'm going to leave you with this. You know, you can sit there and you can look at something and you can dissect it and resect it and trisect it. Let me say this to you. This is from Tom in Wilmington. Here is some stuff that happened in tonight's game. We want to officially welcome back Tennessee football. The defense was so much fun to watch. It was impossible to say that last year about this team. They were fun to watch. A.J. Johnston was terrific tonight. Cam Sutton and Reeves Maben were right there with him, and the defensive line was getting pressure and keeping the running game in check. And the tackling and the containment was very good tonight from that football team.
Yeah, that was setting the edge and forcing a play back inside. That was a major problem last year, and I don't think that Utah State got to the edge once tonight.
No. Reeves Maben tonight had 10 tackles in that game. A.J. Johnston had 9. Randolph had 5. Sutton had 4. Utah State was 3 of 14 on third down conversions. Tennessee scored 17 points off Utah State turnovers. 17 points. Tennessee had 9 players with 26 or more yards rushing and or receiving. Marlon Lane, Hurd, Pig Howard, North, Josh Smith, Pearson, Wolf, Kroom, Malone. Tennessee had 5 different players score a touchdown in the game tonight. Pig Howard, Downs, Pearson, Hurd, and Lane. That's a pretty good solid night from those guys. That's pretty good. That's what you want in an opener.
Mm-hmm.
Lundy, give me a final thought here.
I think it has to be the young talent. You went through them name by name, all the guys who played, and they're all pretty impressive. You know, Herd didn't have the best night. I was expecting him to kind of have a breakout performance, but that was not all his fault. The offensive line didn't exactly create gaping holes for him. I thought it'll be interesting to watch going forward throughout the season, throughout next season, just watching all these guys develop. As you said, looks like at this point there's only one really clear bust from the class, so to watch 31 guys or whatever kind of move forward, it'll be fun to watch, I think.
Make a prediction for me. Do you feel like that we will see Gillum back at tackle next week? Will he be okay? Do you feel like to go from Arkansas State? Make a prediction.
I guess so. But I think so, yes.
Okay. You playing doctor now?
No, that's
You've got a pretty decent...
No, I'm just... I don't know for sure. I mean, obviously, they're probably still doing some tests and things like that, but I'd say there's a good chance he'll be out there on Saturday afternoon.
And you don't believe that we will see the big feller?
Dontavius Blair?
Yes.
I would say that's doubtful.
What has to happen for him to play, do you feel like?
I'd say injuries to Coleman Thomas, Brett Kendrick, and Jacob Gillum.
Well, if he was the potential answer there, you would have seen him tonight.
That's sad. I mean, all those guys played tonight, and that poor kid didn't get in the game. So many bright spots. So much good things. So, you know what tonight is? It's like tonight's something we needed. Fan base needed that tonight. Program needed that tonight. Do you know... a lot of the doomsday type scenarios that people were thinking about the Utah State game.
Oh, man.
If that would have come to pass, we haven't even...
We'd still be on the air for 3 more hours.
Thank God it didn't happen. You know what, Russell?
Yeah, you'd have to hide the sharp objects.
You've been on every day.
Up on Gay Street Bridge.
You've been on every day. Well, you've been on every day since when?
What do you mean?
You've been doing your show every day since what year? In the market.
In the market?
In the afternoon.
In the afternoon since about 2010.
Okay, here's what I want. Here's what I want. I want for you to do your show in the afternoon here and us to win a league championship. Those years for me, I had somebody stop up and see me today. And we were talking, and he said, man, he said, do you remember how much fun it was to win? And I said, yeah. You know, the thing I remember most about the winning was just all the crazy stuff you can do when you're winning.
Mm-hmm.
When you do what we do and you're on the air and you take... Now, if you take the tone and tack that this is science and you're a professor and you're going to lord over people and, you know, this is like some world peace and it's some real serious thing... You're not really going to have fun with it to begin with. But when you have some fun with this and you understand that it's a fan-oriented thing and this is emotion, man, when you're winning, you can call their fan bases and talk trash. You can do simulcasts. The world's going to be open to you.
Yeah, it's just, I'm tired of the football program here being irrelevant.
Correct.
You call up a big-name guest from out of town and say, hey, you want to do my show?
No.
Why? You're on in Knoxville.
Right. Exactly.
You're off
the beaten path.
I got to be on in Alabama this week.
It's
stuff
true.
Like that. Yeah,
no,
so,
it's true. It's
yeah,
a,
I mean, it definitely would be good for business if the balls can get back.
It's going to be so much fun for this community, though. You know, when you walk in that stadium tonight, Christian, you sense how much people are starving for this, don't you?
Yeah, no doubt. 102,455, whatever it is, for Utah State. It was a lively crowd.
It was a
crowd.
Real crowd.
Yeah.
It wasn't. That was not a padded number, by the way.
No.
Sometimes you look at it and you go, that's not true.
No, but that there wasn't. I mean,
there wasn't a seat in the house.
No, I don't think so. Not that I saw. It was very impressive.
And when I talk to like college kids whose idea of like, you know, the yesteryear of Tennessee football is like the heyday was going to the championship in 2004 and 2007. And, and nothing wrong with those seasons. I mean, they were nice seasons, but I'm like, no. That was merely okay football. For those of us who were fortunate enough to be around for the 1990s, for people who weren't there for that time, I mean, they have no idea just how much fun this town can be when the Vols are winning big. I mean a top 10 program.
Russell Smith of 94.3 FM, you got to check him out 3 to 6 every day. Christian Lundy of TonyBasilio.com, and who does a great job with the young guns. Lundy, I want to thank our friends at Smartway and Dalton Behring for helping to present your fifth quarter fan reaction tonight. Also, special thanks to Jim Burns down at Office Furniture Outfitters for letting me have a parking spot or two tonight. Who's counting? I want to thank everybody that interacted with us tonight on Twitter and kept me alive and awake and alive and well. I want to thank all of our special guests tonight, from Tony Robinson to Jerry Colquitt to Jason Swain to Reed Carringer to Jeff Brock to Bino to Russell Smith to Lundy. I want to thank Matt Nelson, a.k.a. Jimon Jay, for being there with us tonight. And I want to say that we are going to do it. We are getting back. It is time for us to reclaim our spot and